14, where the Apostle Paul says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a fashion. To be clothed with Christ is a fashion that never goes out of vogue. The Apostle Paul gives this instruction to put on Christ or to be clothed with Christ in a chapter that divides into three sections. The first section, that is verses 1 to 7, continues a theme that Paul began in chapter 12, that is how to relate to outsiders. And in this case, in verses 1 to 7 of chapter 13, he tells us how we are to relate to political power, that we are to be in submission to those whom God has appointed above us. And as tax season comes around, we are reminded that we must pay our taxes, however painful that may be. We are to submit to them because God has ordained these powers. And then the second division in the chapter runs from verses 8 to 10, in which the Apostle Paul picks up a theme from chapter 12, in which he tells us that we are to love. And he tells us that love is the fulfillment of the law. He says, in fact, that the commandments of God, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and do not covet, are all summarized under the rubric of love. He tells us that love is an ongoing obligation. We can never stop loving. We must owe no man anything except love. Because we receive the love of God for us daily, we must therefore exhibit His love unto His people. The third section then runs from verses 11 to 14. And there the apostle says, and do this. Do what? Well, they are to continue to submit to political leadership. They are to continue to love. And why should they do so? Because he says, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And so he draws a conclusion here. He says that the reason that we are to be ongoing in our love, it is precisely because the time of the Lord's coming is drawing nearer than ever before. He says that the night is fast receding and the daylight is fast approaching. He says in verse 12, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And so he commands them to put aside sinful acts, drunkenness and sexual immorality and lust and strife and envy. And then in verse 14, he comes to the climax of his argument. He says, but, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. It is this idea of putting on Christ and being clothed with Christ that I want to ruminate upon both this morning and this evening, and also when I come back, God's willing, to speak to the men, to be clothed with Christ. What does it mean to be clothed with Christ? What does it mean to put on Christ? Well, first of all, it is a very strange expression, because you don't wear people. We don't wear people. So what does it mean? I think that in a most general sense, the command to put on Christ calls for identification. It calls essentially for conformity to Christ. It in fact explicates what Paul tells us in Romans 8 verse 29, for he says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So to put on Christ is to be identified with Christ, to be clothed with Christ, is to be conformed to Christ. That's the most general, broadest definition. But in more specific terms, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ means, at least in the knowledge, at least in the expression of Michael Thompson, I accept that view, it means two things. Thompson says that to put on Christ means to adopt the mind of Christ. Secondly, it is to adopt the character or the conduct of Christ. And I'm going to consider the first this morning, the second this evening. But I want to add to that, that it also means to put on not only the mind of Christ and the character or conduct of Christ, but also to put on the priority of Christ. Well, to put on Christ entails the critical step of adopting the mind of Christ. When Paul says we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it means first and foremost that we are to adopt the mindset of Christ. The New Testament places great emphasis upon the mind, the nous. It is man's greatest faculty. It is the center of our thinking and our willing and our feelings. It is the place where we exercise judgment. It is the place where we distinguish between good and evil. It is the place where we express love for God. In fact, in the New Testament, if you read the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, the nous, or the mind, is the inner life of a person. It is the inner person. It is what Paul calls the ego, or the real self. To put on then the mind of Christ signifies that we must embrace the worldview and the values and the attitudes of Christ that is radically different from the world. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ means put on the mind of Christ. Put on the attitude, the worldview, the value of Jesus Christ. But if we are to put on Christ by putting on his mind, we need to reflect on what it means to put on his mind. What was the mind of Christ like? What would you say Christ was in terms of his mindset? I want to suggest first that the mind of Christ is a spiritually discerning mind. The mind of Christ is a spiritually discerning mind. It is interesting that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul tells the Corinthians that they have the mind of Christ already. Let me read a little extensively here from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 16. Now we have received not the gift of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Corinthians were those who were boasting in worldly wisdom. And Paul teaches that the wisdom of God is vastly different from the wisdom of the world. Because the wisdom of God is wrapped up with Christ and him crucified in verse 2 of the chapter. This wisdom does not belong to this age. It is a wisdom that relates to ineffable things. Things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Nor has it entered into the heart of man the things God has provided for those who love him in verse 9. This wisdom of God, the spiritual wisdom that God gives, is a mystery. It is only revealed by the Spirit. Therefore, the natural man does not welcome the wisdom of God, nor is he able, nor does he have the power to understand these things, because they are spiritually discerned. But the believer, because he has the mind of Christ, is able to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. What I am arguing is that the mind of Christ that we are to put on is first and foremost a spiritually discerning mind. I know that it is Kant who talked about these two realms in reality, that there is a realm of the phenomena, there is a realm of the physical that you can touch and that you can see. And then he says there is a realm of the noumena, there is this invisible realm from which this spiritual realm is produced. And so likewise, in a spiritual sense, there is this physical world, a world of business and buildings and cars and homes, a physical world. But there is another world, a spiritual world, a world where God rules and reigns, a world in which we have heaven and we have God and we have angels. That is the reason Paul could tell the Corinthians, set your minds on things above and not on things of this world. You see, there is the spiritual world, and the spiritual mind is a mind that is in contact not only with this physical life, but with the life to come. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, is to be clothed in a spiritually discerning mind. This spiritually discerning mind is a mind that is contrary to the futile and darkened mind, the debased mind that Paul talks about in Romans 1, 21 to 28. It is opposed to the mind that fails to glorify God, that exchanges the glory of God for the corruptible images, a mind that exchanges the truth of God for a lie. It is opposed to the mind that does not desire to retain the knowledge of God, and therefore God gave them over to a debased mind. It is also, this spiritually discerning mind, it is also opposed to the carnal mind. That is, the mind that is governed by the things of this world. Paul talks about this in Romans 8, where he says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This spiritual mind opposes a carnal mind, a mind governed by the things of the world, a mind that ends in death, a mind that is hostile to God, and a mind incapable of pleasing God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to put on the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is first and foremost a spiritually discerning mind. But what else can we say about the mind of Christ? Well, the mind of Christ is secondly a God-pleasing mind. It is the same as the renewed mind that Paul refers to in Romans 12, where he says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. You see, the mind of Jesus Christ was a God-pleasing mind. It says an unqualified yes to the will of God. That's the mind of Christ. The entire tenor and direction of the mind of Christ was to glorify the Father. In fact, our Lord Jesus could say, in John 8, verse 29, he could say, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that pleases him. I always do the thing that pleases him. Our Lord had a mindset to please the Father. And to have the mind of Christ is to be a mind that approves the things of God, that says yes to the will of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to be characterized by this God-pleasing mindset. He says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 to 2, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know the commandment that we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. They must walk and abound, but they should do so in pleasing God. Their behavior cannot be pleasing to God unless their mindset is first to please Him. He could later say, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to the Lord. That is in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 9. So the mind that we must put on is, first of all, this mind that is God-pleasing. It is a mind that is spiritually discerning. But thirdly, the mind that we are to put on is a self-humbling mind. In fact, Paul tells us this specifically. Because in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You see, the language is the same. He's saying that we are to put on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Christ, his mind was a self-humbling mind, a mind that humbled itself. Let this mind be in you that was also in Jesus Christ. He was in the form of God. Not that he was like God, but that he existed as God. Yet, because Christ was humble in mind, he did not cling selfishly to divine prerogatives, such as his glory. But he took on him the form of a man. And being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself to become man, and he humbled himself even to death on the cross. If you want to know what the mind of Christ was like, you need to look at the cross. Because it is there that you see the humiliation of Jesus Christ. And when we put on the mind of Christ, we must put on the mind of humility. We must take on a self-humbling mind. You know the story that the pastors love to tell when it comes to humility. You know, the pastor preached a sermon on humility, goes to the door, and one elder lady at the end of the service goes up to him and says, "Pastor, I thank you so much for that sermon on humility. You know, humility is my strongest point." If you're going to put on the mind of Christ, you must put on that spiritually discerning mind. You must put on that God-pleasing mind, and you must put on that self-humbling mind. But then the question then lingers, why must we seek out this discerning, God-pleasing, and self-denying mind of Christ? Why? Of what value it is to us? I want to suggest three brief reasons. First of all, to put on the mind of Christ is to be clothed in our right minds. There's a delicious story told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, in particularly verse 35. Jesus comes to the area of the Gadarenes and he meets a demoniac, a man who lived among the tombs. You remember the story? Everybody was afraid of the fellow. Even when they bound him with chains, he would break the chains. This man was so powerful. Jesus meets the demoniac and he exorcises the demon. And then we are told in verse 35 of Luke 8 that the town people go out to see the man whom Jesus had healed. And we are told that they found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They found him clothed in his right mind. I don't believe that it means simply that the man was now thinking logically and rationally, or that the man was now behaving in a merely civilized manner. That may be true. But you will notice that Luke says he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was in his right mind because now he has become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now his mind is now being brought to bear to understand spiritual things. He's now giving full and wholehearted attention to the will of God in Jesus Christ. He's at the feet of Jesus learning from him. You see, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to put on the mind of Christ. Because when you do, only then do you come in your right mind. The reality is that in our sins, we are not in our right minds. Sin has a neurotic effect upon the mind. It introduces a spiritual neurosis in our being, a spiritual sickness, a disease. Sin causes us to wander in the land of dreams. It is for no reason then that Paul could say in Romans 13 verse 11, it is high time to awake from sleep. In the same chapter here in Romans 13 verse 11, it is high time to awake from sleep. But this word sleep is the word hypnos or hypnos. You see, in sin we are hypnotized. We are living in the shadows. We are incapable of distinguishing the things that are truly important. But when we have the mind of Christ, we begin to understand the true spiritual value of things. We begin to see who God is and how great God is. We see the danger of our sins. You see, we need the mind of Christ if we are to be in our right minds. But to put on the mind of Christ is also essential because it proves that we are joined to Christ. How do you know? How do you know that you belong to God? Well, you know in many ways. Because there's a resemblance between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have a family, you have children, you're going to see signs of resemblance in the child and in the parents. And when you become a child of God, there must be a resemblance between you and Christ. And so when you put on the mind of Christ, you're going to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ in your attitudes, in your values, and in your perspectives. That's further proof that you have come into a spiritual relationship with Christ. But there's a third reason, and perhaps the greatest reason, why we must put on Christ, why we must be clothed with Christ. That is because a transformed mind is essential to a transformed life. In other words, before you can put on the character of Christ, you must first have the mind of Christ. It is thinking that precedes doing. It is essential that if we are to share Christ's character, that we first share his mind. It is our thinking that determines our behavior. In the Old Testament it says, as a man thinks, so is he. You see, a person's thinking reveals his or her true identity. And so Paul could say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal, the continual refreshing of the mind. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to put on the mind of Christ. Because it is only as you put on the mind of Christ that you can put on the character of Christ. My friends, to put on the mind of Christ, you need a new heart. You need a new heart, a new spirit. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The natural man thinking as the world does can never exercise the mindset of Jesus Christ. In short, we must be born again. We need a radical, spiritual, inward work of grace in the heart. What I'm trying to suggest to you is that the mind of Christ is not something that you can pick up in university. It is not something that you can educate yourself into. The mind of Christ is a gift. It comes with regeneration. It comes with the Spirit of God. He opens your understanding. He shows you spiritual things. He makes you brand new. And if you are to have this mind, you need to go to Christ. You need to say, Lord, change me inside out. Any religion that is external will not help us. We need a radical change of the heart. We need the Spirit of grace to take hold of us and to change and give us a new heart. And by the way, the Hebrew lev refers not just to the heart here, it refers to the mind. When God wants to change a man, he changes him from the inside out. You must be born again. Because that's the only way you can have the mind of Christ. And the good news is this, that if any one of us know that we have not been changed internally, we may apply to Jesus Christ. We may go to him knowing that he will never turn us aside. We may ask him, Lord Jesus, do a work of grace in me. Lord, change me, make me brand new. And if wicked fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, how much will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All you need to do today is to ask. Change me. Give me a brand new mind, a brand new heart. Make me a new person. And to believe in Jesus Christ. To abandon your sins and to rest wholeheartedly by faith in Christ. And he will change you. To put on the mind of Christ, you need to have a new heart. You must be changed. But to put on the mind of Christ, secondly, you must acknowledge the importance of the mind. Paul places great stress on the mind. If I just were to take Philippians, for instance, the book of Philippians, Paul speaks of the mind often in Philippians. He says in chapter 2, verse 2, be of one mind. Chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 15, let as many of you as are mature have this same mind. The mind is the control tower that directs your life. It is the place of moral decisions and lifestyle choices. Whoever controls the mind controls the person. It is for this reason that when you read in Proverbs, the Lord says, my son, give me your heart. You see, when God asks of us, he's not asking for a little of our time. He says, no, give me your heart. Because when God takes the heart, he takes all of you. You need to understand the importance of the mind. The battle against the world and against sin and against the devil is won or lost from the Lord Jesus Christ by putting on the mind of Christ. How do I do this? It requires daily cultivation. It requires daily cultivation. You notice that in our passage, Paul tells us, he says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses the imperative, and the imperative demands urgent and immediate action. He doesn't say sit down and you're going to go automatically into the mind of Christ. He says put it on. That is, you and I are to be deliberately clothing ourselves with the thinking of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. He also uses the plural form of the verb. And that means that it is not just super Christians who are to have the mind of Christ, but all believers are to have the mind of Christ. And even though the imperative form of the verb does not speak about the duration, it would be hard to understand that Paul is saying we must put on the mind of Christ once and forget it. This must be a habitual and continual action to continue to adopt the mind of Christ. We must put it on daily. It is Harry Ramirez who wrote the book. He said, there is no longer a Christian mind. It is no slight exaggeration for him to say that, but he does make a point. He says we go about the business of being Christians. We engage in worship. He says that we practice Christian ethics, but we no longer view life from the advantage and this perspective of eternity. The Bible no longer shapes the Christian worldview. You and I need then to put on the mind of Christ and cultivate daily this discerning mind of Jesus. We need to see and to view life through the eyes of Jesus. It is a writer, R.J. Wetherspoon, 1951 in Expository Times, reminds us of H.G. Wells, the novelist, in his autobiography, where he talks about his mother. And H.G. Wells describes his mother as living in abject poverty. And his mother was a Christian, devoted Christian. And H.G. Wells comes to the conclusion that God had failed his mother. And the reason God had failed his mother was because God never delivered her in his early childhood from her poverty. And he said, in biting language, God is an ever absent help in the time of trouble. But I want to suggest to you that H.G. Wells lacked the mind of Christ. He lacked a discerning mind. Because if he had a truly discerning mind, he would have realized that the successes that he enjoyed in life, the thousands of dollars that he earned, and which he used to support his mother later in life, were God's gift to him. And God's enablement and provision for him to take care of his mother. You see, God was not so absent after all. And when we have the mind of Christ, we view all of life and all that happens to us under the sovereignty of God. We realize that God is in heaven and that he controls all things. We come to the conclusion that even though we do not understand what he's doing, even the very hairs of our head are numbered by him. I'm grateful for that. You see, my dear friends, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. We need the mind of Christ. We are not alarmed when trouble comes because we know that there is one who loves us. That's the mind of Christ, to be able to see this life through the prism of Jesus Christ. You must cultivate this God-pleasing mind by bringing all your thoughts into captivity to Jesus Christ, by surrendering your judgments and your opinions to the revelation of God, by nurturing your mind in the gospel and in the word of God, by meditating upon whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely. This is how you receive a God-pleasing mind, by being steeped in the scriptures. You must daily cultivate this self-humbling mind that you saw in Jesus. But you and I need to realize that we are nothing but dust and ashes. And whatever we have by the grace of God. We have a command here, a command from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to be clothed with his mind. What we need today is a mind that is Christ-like. A mind that loves the Lord. A mind that longs to know the Lord. Put on the mind of Christ. If you want to put on Christ, take his mind. Take his humility. Take his mind that wants to please God. Put on the mind of Christ. When you go out tomorrow and you go to work, go there with the mind of Jesus Christ. When you debate politics, do it with the mindset of Jesus Christ. When you instruct your children, do so from the mind of Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to put on his mind. We need a new group of evangelicals. We need a new group of Christians who are able to think Christ's thoughts after him. My dear friends, you already have the mind of Christ. Put it on and use it by the grace of God for Jesus' sake.